Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Rebirth Online by Michael James Plouffe, narrated by Tristan Morris. Chapter 1.
Are you ready, Sam?
My mother asked from the left side of my bed. I blinked. It was all I could do. You sure you want to do this? Asked my father from the right. He was holding my hand. I could see it, but I couldn't feel it. I couldn't feel anything. Hadn't been able to for almost a year now. I can assure you, Mr. and Mrs. Sullivan, your son will be fine, Dr. Marks told them, as he strode into the room with a holopad in hand. I noticed how my mother straightened when the good doctor entered, and my father eyed him with customary suspicion. The man looked more like a model for those steamy romance novels that my mother liked to read than he did a doctor. But that wasn't the only reason that my father didn't like him. As far as the old man was concerned, the doctor was the reason that I had decided to live in the virtual world. I wasn't in a hospital, and I was pretty sure that Dr. Marks wasn't a real doctor. The building resembled a hospital, but rather than white walls, these were a dark matte blend of blacks and grays that reminded me of the marble countertop at home. The walls had a single glowing multicolored panel that zigzagged across them at haphazard angles and wrapped around the door leading out into the hall. We were inside the headquarters of the Horizon Corporation in Petaluma, California, but we might as well have been on a spaceship. There were no windows, due to the fact that we were 10 levels below ground, and there was an almost inaudible buzz inside the structure that hinted at mysterious power.
"Will he be fine?" my father asked bitterly. "You said yourself that there's a chance he won't make it, that his brain won't adjust to the new reality."
What I said was that there is a 0.0097% chance of that happening, which is minuscule, said the doctor. I wanted to scream at them both. I wanted to tell my parents, I love you, but please piss off. This was my choice, after all. They didn't understand what it was like being paralyzed. They didn't understand what a hell it would be to live with them for the rest of my life, unable to leave when I wanted to, unable to speak, unable to tell them to stop fucking fighting all the time. Compared to that living hell, a 0.0097% of having my brain fried was nothing. Not when the alternative was a new life in a new world, and more importantly, a body that worked.
"And what about this world that you're putting him in?" my father asked. "I've heard things about this game, this Rebirth Online, and not all of them are good."
Rebirth Online, the first fully immersive virtual reality game, was an MMORPG player's dream. In-game, you could be just about anything you wanted to be. Drow elf, goblin, dwarf, dragonkin, troll, furry, basically anything found in fantasy literature. It was being hailed as the greatest achievement in gaming history. The gear implants alone cost upwards of $50,000. If a player wanted to start off with sick gear, magical items, weapons, and money, they would have to shell out some big bucks. I was by no means rich, but I had settled out of court with the trucking company whose drunk employee caused the accident that severed my spine, and I had sprung for the full package. I paid to start the game as a level 10 mage with a magical sword, enchanted cloth armor, and 100,000 in gold to spend on whatever else I wanted. That is, as long as my father didn't sabotage the deal.
"I can assure you, Mr. Sullivan, the game is completely safe," the doctor said absently, and began flicking his finger across his tablet. "Your son is scheduled to be immersed in less than 10 minutes. We need to finish preparing him."
My father turned watery eyes my way, and I loved the old man for his sensitivity. I felt water collect on my own lids, but blinked them away stubbornly.
"Oh," said my mother between sniffles, "I feel like this is goodbye."
"You can visit Sam in-game whenever you like, Mrs. Sullivan," the doctor assured her for the 10th time that week. My mother cried into my shoulder and kissed my cheek, while my father rustled my hair, and I winked at them both to let them know I was okay. When they finally left, Dr. Marks came to stand beside my bed and smiled down on me. "You ready for your new life?" the doctor asked. His breath smelled like coffee and mints. I blinked repeatedly. Hell yeah, I was ready. The doctor nodded and touched his tablet. and the implants inside my brain responded with a low buzzing noise that scared the living shit out of me. My heartbeat leapt on the monitor, and the doctor glanced at me. "How we feeling?" I blinked. "I don't know about you, Doc, but I feel like a guinea pig." He couldn't hear me, of course, but he nodded, returned to his pad, and clicked it a few more times. The implants whirled and buzzed, and I started to get a little scared. Had I made a mistake? Would I be one of the small percentage of people whose brain was fried by the implants? "You still with me, Sam?" the doctor asked, as deep concern marred his features. Two blinks meant no, so I blinked heavily only once. "Shit, Doc, let's get this the hell over with." "James," the doctor said as he touched the device in his ear, "you want to come and take a look at this?" I didn't hear a reply, but the doctor seemed placated by the answer that came in his earpiece. "I just want my colleague to look over a few of your vitals," Dr. Marks told me. What the hell could possibly be going on? Was I about to have a heart attack? My heart rate beeped pretty fast on the machine. Maybe my brain was going to short circuit. It sure felt weird. The humming of the implants had settled down a bit. Now sporadic zaps were bouncing around my brain, and I wondered if I was about to have a stroke. A man, presumably James, strode into the room. His name tag said Dr. Hamilton, and the name fit. He was a lean, blonde-haired dude with glasses and a square chin. "What do you have for me?" he asked Dr. Marks in an English accent. The two doctors met at the end of my bed and went over my stats, glancing back at me every now and again. If they were trying to freak me out, it was working. I prayed that it was nothing. The only thing that had pulled me out of my deep depression after the accident was the possibility that I might have a second chance at life with Rebirth Online. If this fell through, I didn't know what I would do. A life spent strapped to a bed would be torture. And though I tried to put on a brave face for my parents, I had already been having suicidal thoughts for months. The problem was, I couldn't have ended my misery even if I wanted to. If the doctors determined that I was at too great a risk to enter the game, then I would be doomed to a life of forever being a watcher in a world that frowned down on me with pity. What the hell is taking so long? Finally, the doctors parted, and they each walked up to one side of my bed. Dr. Marks on the right and Dr. Hamilton on my left. "We've found some anomalies that are troubling," Dr. Hamilton said with a furrowed brow. "Now, Sam," Dr. Marks added, "you're an adult, and you have the final say." "Spit it out, dude." A pensive stare from Dr. Marks, and then, "Your brain waves indicate that your serotonin... Well, let me put it to you plainly. Please do. We believe that due to these new developments, your chances of survival have lessened by nearly 2%. Do you understand?" "I'm paralyzed, not stupid." I blinked once. "Do you still want to proceed?" Dr. Hamilton asked. I blinked again. 2%, 4, hell, 10, I didn't care. Dying during this procedure was a lot more exciting than living out the rest of my days as I was. Don't get me wrong. There were plenty of people whose spirit was so indomitable, so incredibly strong that they learned how to thrive in my condition. But I wasn't one of them. The doctors looked at each other, seemingly to silently communicate something. Then Dr. Hamilton reached toward the back of my head, while Dr. Marks typed furiously on his pad. "All right, Sam, here we go," said Dr. Marks with a nod toward his colleague. I mentally braced myself for what was about to happen, though I had no idea what I was really in for. The doctors had tried to explain it, saying that I would feel some discomfort, but that had been about it. "Assimilation in 5, 4, Dr. Marks counted down, and I wondered what the hell happened to starting a countdown at 10. 3, 2, ah, shit, here we go. 1. Chapter 2. As soon as the countdown was finished, the buzzing in my head became unbearable. If I could have screamed, I would have. If I could have flailed in my bed, I would have. Instead, I was helpless to express my discomfort and terror. The matte room, with its strange glowing panel and its disinfectant scent, disappeared like chalk art in the rain, and I found myself falling through a deep, empty nothingness. Then, the pain disappeared. My feet touched the ground, and I opened my eyes. I found myself standing on a well-worn dirt road. The shock of being on my own 2 feet made me dizzy, and I fell on my ass. The sun was incredibly bright, and I raised my hand to blot it out and blinked to focus my eyes. I looked at my hand as I did so, delighted to be able to move it. I kicked my legs, turned my head from side to side, and then reached for my dick. It was there, and I could feel it. I looked down at the silken robes that I wore. They were red with gold trim, thin and comfortable. There was also a pack on my back and a short sword strapped to my belt. Rebirth Online offered a plethora of races that players could choose from, including customized avatars for the right price. But I had chosen to be a human and look like myself. My choice might seem boring to some, but I'd been unable to use my own body for so long that doing so in-game felt like a miracle. I leapt to my feet and let out a pent-up primal scream. Birds erupted from the nearby canopy as my voice echoed across the land. My body felt like it had before the accident, only stronger. I flexed my muscles, glanced down at my legs, laughed to myself, and then took off down the road at top speed. I must have sprinted for a full mile, and when I stopped, I breathed deeply of the fresh air. "I can run again," I told the world, and accentuated the proclamation with a powerful, "Fuck yeah!" In my ecstasy, I hadn't really taken in the world around me. I spun a full circle, admiring how real everything looked. To the north, a distant mountain range edged across the horizon like jagged teeth. To the south, and down a wide valley, a small village sat beside a snaking river. To the east and west lay lush forests, and from them came the call of exotic birds. I smelled flowers and dead leaves, while the faint scent of pine flowed on the soft breeze that tousled my shaggy brown hair. I turned in circles as I admired the world, and nearly leapt out of my skin when I found an old man standing in the middle of the road, less than 3 feet away. "Oh, hello," I said, trying not to act as startled as I felt.
"Yes, yes, hello is in order," said the old man as he beamed at me from over the rims of thin spectacles.
He wiggled his bushy handlebar mustache and tugged on his long, pointy beard.
"You are in need of a mage trainer, and I happen to be just that."
"Cool, that's super convenient," I said as I glanced around and continued to wonder where he had come from.
"Not so much for me," he said with a chuckle. "But here I am, and here you are. I can see that you're a level 10, and you've never so much as cast a spell."
The old mage shook his head and gave an annoyed tisk-tisk.
"Young people these days, always in such a hurry."
"I wanted to get a head start in-game," I explained. "Other players have already joined the game, and it's going to be hard enough getting to the top before them."
"The top?" he said quizzically. "There is no top."
"What do you mean? There's no level cap?" Again he shook his head, and he straightened his robes, taking on a serious manner.
"Are you prepared to learn, Samson Sullivan?"
"Hell yeah," I said.
"Good. Now bring up your interface."
How? He rolled his eyes, grumbling about power without wisdom. "What?"
"The same way you wiggle a finger," he explained. "Or hold your breath, or close your eyes. Just will it to happen, and it will happen."
"Really? All right." I concentrated on my interface popping up out of nowhere, and to my surprise, a weathered scroll suddenly appeared about 18 inches from my face and began to unroll. Rebirth Online. Menu.
"That's so cool," I said dreamily. "Well then, what does it say?"
the mage trainer asked impatiently. "Oh, it just says Rebirth Online and Menu."
"Good, good. Go ahead and touch the menu icon."
I did, though it was kind of weird tapping something that wasn't really there. But once my finger reached the hologram-like icon, the ink on the scroll shifted to create new words.
"What do you see now?" asked the old man.
"I have a bunch of options," I told him as I scanned the list. "Character overview, social, spells, skills, professions, world map, inventory, quest log."
"Good," said the trainer. "Now tap on character overview."
I did so, and a small laugh escaped me as the scroll quickly closed and opened again.
"This is way too cool."
Character. Samson Sullivan. Race, human. Class, mage. Level, 10. 0%. Health, 100%. Mana, 100%. Armor, 50. Stamina, 100. Strength, 50. Speed, 50. Vitality, 100. Spirit, 100. Arcane knowledge, 0.
Any questions? The mage trainer asked.
Yeah, a lot, I said with a laugh, as I tried to see him around the floating interface.
Just shrink it, lad, said the trainer.
I reached out and touched the sides, then slid my hands closer to each other. It worked, and the scroll became smaller. I found that I could even move it around and place it wherever I wanted.
What is vitality, sir?
And why are my health and mana a percentage rather than a base number like the other stats?
Both very good questions, lad. Vitality is your energy, and it, combined with strength, determines your health. Multiply the two, and you get your health points, or HP.
All right, I said, doing the math. Then my 50 strength and 100 vitality equals 5,000 health?
Very good, said the trainer. Now your mana is calculated much the same way, except you multiply your spirit and arcane knowledge.
I don't have any arcane knowledge, I said, as I stared at the big fat zero on my interface. I thought I was a mage. He chuckled and slapped his knee, turning to the nearest tree and hooking a thumb back toward me.
Get a load of this guy,
he said to the tree, before turning back to me.
You have zero arcane knowledge because you bought your way to level 10. In layman's terms, you don't know shit.
Ha! Well, we need to remedy that.
Right you are. Dismiss that menu by swiping it right and go back to the last one, he said,
and waited for me to comply.
Now tap on spells.
I did what he told, and the ink on the scroll quickly shifted. Fireball, arcane lightning. Only two spells? I said, more than a little disappointed. I'm a friggin' level 10. The mage trainer produced a wand in his right hand in the blink of an eye, and swiftly wrapped my head with it.
Ow! Ow is right, he said,
smacking my knuckles as I rubbed my head.
It must hurt to be as stupid as you. Now pay attention. You might be level 10, but your brain is level 0 nada. Get it? You need to learn more spells and learn them the hard way, with attribute points. What are attribute points, you might ask? Well, I'm glad you brought it up. Attribute points are awarded exactly 30 per level, no matter the level, forever. Get it, got it, good, he said before I could answer. Now, since you are a level 10, then you have how many attribute points to use?
300, I answered, thinking that was pretty cool. What can I use them on?
He said, hand on chin and eyes looking quizzically upward. What can you use attribute points on? Maybe attributes.
All right, dude, quit yelling in my face, I said, growing annoyed.
Dude, he said snidely. Watch it, sonny. I'll fry your ass right here and show you a real mage.
All right, you win. Tell me about attribute points, please. He cleared his throat.
Each attribute point is worth 1 point towards one of your 6 base attributes. Since you have 300 attribute points, you can boost any of your 6 attributes: stamina, strength, speed, vitality, spirit, and arcane knowledge. Now, as for your attributes, stamina is self-explanatory. Strength equals physical strength and determines how much damage melee classes can deal. Speed is exactly what it implies. Vitality, as you know, is your energy level, and spirit determines your spell damage.
I went back to the main menu and looked over my stats again, wondering where I should apply the 300 attribute points. Character: Samson Sullivan. Race: human. Class: mage. Level: 10. 0%. Health: 100%. Mana: 100%. Armor, 50. Stamina, 100. Strength, 50. Speed, 50. Vitality, 100. Spirit, 100. Arcane knowledge, 0. I could go super heavy on stamina and last a lot longer than other players and NPCs around my level, but then again, if I added it all to spirit, I would be able to cast some super powerful spells. Speaking of spells, I wondered what new spells I might unlock if I spent them on arcane knowledge, but in the end, I decided that it was best to not put all my eggs in one basket. I'll apply the 300 points evenly across all six, I told the trainer.
Very good choice, he said with a nod, and waved his hand slowly in front of my face, saying, Whoosh!
I glanced at the scroll and found that my stats had been updated. Character, Samson Sullivan. Race, human. Class, mage. Level, 10. 10% progress. Health, 100%. Mana, 100%. Armor, 50. Stamina, 150. Strength, 100. Speed, 100. Vitality, 150. Spirit, 150. Arcane knowledge, 50.
I don't feel much different, I told the trainer.
No, he said, eyeing me sidelong and chewing his cud. Look inward, not your body, not your mind.
I tried not to think of my body or my brain and let my thoughts disperse. After a moment, I began to feel something. It was faint, but promised power like a quiet but distant waterfall. What is that? I asked. Then I took in a startled breath when the small speck of strange power that I had found blazed brighter within me.
That, my friend, is magic. Learn to know and trust that feeling, but also how to control the urge for more.
I hardly heard him, so enamored was I with the power churning within me. What do I do with it? I asked.
Release it. What else? Now pay attention and do exactly as I do with my hands.
I watched him like a hawk as he got into a kind of Tai Chi defensive pose. He then brought his hands near each other in front of his chest and touched each thumb to the opposite pinky. He looked like he was holding an invisible ball, which he cocked back in his right hand. A fiery glow began to burn in his palm, and I nearly shit myself with excitement. I struck the Tai Chi pose, brought my thumbs and pinkies together, and cocked back my right arm, keeping my pinkies and thumbs in contact. A spark of flame like that which I felt burning within me appeared in the middle of the space between my hands. As I watched, it grew bigger, until it was the size of a softball in my hand. The flames didn't burn me, but I was getting nervous. It was getting too big, too powerful.
What do I do now? I yelled nervously.
Let it go!
I thrust my hands forward and the fireball erupted from my palms like a rocket, blowing back my hair and sailing in an arc for 100 feet before exploding down the road.
Holy shit,
I said breathlessly, as I stared at my red glowing hands.
Impressive, he said with a nod of approval. That was a fireball. You can practice more later. Now I will teach you arcane lightning.
Epic,
I said breathlessly.
Excuse me?
It means this is freaking awesome, I explained.
Yes, well, this is just the beginning, my eager young friend. Now, place your hands like this,
the trainer said, as he pressed his hands together like he was in prayer. I mimicked the pose and watched as he rolled his hands forward in a complete loop back to prayer pose.
Careful not to break contact, he said,
as he showed me again. All right, I said as I licked my lips. I brought my hands together in prayer pose, then slowly turned them, first pressing the thumbs together, then the knuckles, bottom of the hands, and back to prayer pose. Once my palms settled back together, my hands erupted with crackling lightning.
Holy shitballs!
I could feel the incredible power surging in between my pressed palms. My teeth chattered a bit as the spell grew in strength, and I imagined my shaggy hair standing on end.
What are you waiting for? The trainer asked. Shoot it at something!
How? I asked, as the lightning crackled and hissed in my hands.
Push out from your chest with both hands!
I focused on the big evergreen on the right side of the road and let loose my lightning, throwing it like a basketball chest pass. The lightning exploded from my palms and shot across the road, followed by a deafening boom of thunder. The tree that I had aimed at was rocked by a dozen biting arcs of lightning, and to my amazement, it went up like a dried-out Christmas tree.
That was impressive for a first time, but also stupid. Now you have no mana left, said the trainer. Look at your mana bar.
Huh? I said, glancing around.
Near your brow, there should be a green health bar and a blue mana bar.
Oh, yeah, I see it, I said, noticing how faint the blue mana bar was. I felt different, too, like I had just taken a magical dump or something.
Yup, no mana. And here comes some bad news, said the trainer with a chuckle, as he pointed down the road. Nice knowing you, kid.
He disappeared, and I turned around to find four horsemen coming my way.
Bravo, young lad, said the lead man.
The group was a dangerous-looking lot, and I instinctively knew that they weren't looking to make friends. The leader's face began to glow as I fixed my gaze on him, and holographic words appeared above his head. Name: Mad Morgan, NPC. Race: human. Class: highwayman. Level: 14. Health: 100%. Mana: 0%. Armor: 250. Stamina: 300. Strength: 300. Speed: 250. Vitality: 300. Spirit: 100. Arcane knowledge: 0. There was also a green health bar above his head, and at that moment it was full. A quick scan of his posse showed me levels of 12 and higher. There was an ice mage with clear blue eyes who cocked her head at me and smirked. A cleric with an impressive-looking staff that glowed so bright it was hard to look at. And lastly, a rogue with about 24 daggers strapped to his black leather armor. When I read the name above the group, I let out a chuckle.
What's so funny, eh, Magey? Mad Morgan asked as he got down from his horse. Mad Morgan and the Creepers, eh? I said affably. That's the name, don't wear it out, said the lead thug.
My mana was climbing very slowly, and I needed to buy myself some time.
I like your name. You think I could join your little group?
Mad Morgan scoffed as he sauntered over to me while his crew fanned out. He wore tarnished silver armor that looked to have seen about 1,000 battles. He was an NPC, or non-player character, but his green eyes were alive with insight and self-awareness. And I gulped when I remembered that the NPCs in Rebirth Online had been programmed to think that they were as real as the world around them.
Good to meet you, I said as I extended my hand. The name's Samson.
A heartbeat later, the rogue popped up behind me and stabbed me in the side. My enchanted robe took part of the blow, but pain still shot through my side. The ice mage suddenly unleashed an icy blue shard from her left hand that slammed into my gut. My robes took the brunt of the spell, but the breath burst out of me explosively. The cleric raised a palm to the sky, and I was suddenly encased in shadow. Unholy fury. Losing 2 armor per second. 10-second duration. My armor steadily decreased as I tried to defend myself. I drew my sword and spun as I swung, trying to get the rogue away from me. But he ducked the blade and came up with a dagger in each hand. He struck like a cobra, stabbing each blade into my stomach. This time, the robes didn't stop it. I let out an unintelligible scream of surprise and pain, and Mad Morgan punched me in the face with his metal gauntlet. Stars danced in my vision, and even my interface glitched for a moment as big letters and numbers dominated my view. Health, 70%. The rogue stabbed me again, decreasing my health by another 15%. Then the 2 men backed away from me, laughing. I tried to retaliate with my fireball, but my mana was still too low, and my hands didn't seem to want to work right. I glanced up from my smoking palm and groaned when I saw the ice mage unleash a ball of writhing blue snowflakes that streaked across the road and hit me in the chest. Cold like I had never felt ripped through the enchantments of my robe and gripped my bones. I froze, barely registering that I had actually been turned into ice, and slowly toppled over, frozen. I couldn't move a muscle, and my mind screamed at my body to do something, just as it had done for the last year. I might as well have been strapped to another hospital bed. Warning: health 10%. Mad Morgan laughed as he and his cronies circled me and began kicking the living shit out of me. They didn't stop until my health was down to 2%. By then, the cleric's curse and the ice mage's spell had worn off, and they went through my wet pockets as I...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?